Tlingit attorney Liz Medicine Crow works for the Native Policy Center at the First Alaskans Institute in Anchorage. Medicine Crow comes from a family where advanced education has always been considered important, and women in her family have made academic history more than once. Her sister was the first Tlingit woman to graduate from MIT, and her grandmother was one of the first Haida women to get a bachelor's degree in the 1930s. As part of our continuing series on Native education in South Central Alaska, Liz Medicine Crow tells us of her life in the small southeast village of Cake before moving to Juneau and then the East Coast for college. She ended up at Bates College in Maine and says it was an eye-opening experience.
And it allowed me to really start understanding my home better, my connection to my home, and who I was. And so those 2 years at Bates were really educational for me in terms of that quality of life and link back to my community.
That's so interesting because oftentimes we hear that a lot of young people have so much trouble because they've left their home and try to go somewhere for education outside of their support network and just can't make it.
Yeah.
Why do you think that was different for you?
I think it was different for me because of my roots in my community and my village, because of my grandparents and my ancestors, and because of my mother and my father, who were really committed to ensuring that my sister and I had the best opportunities for education that we could. And the reason that we left Cake and moved to Juneau was because my sister was just a genius and was she was just doing fantastically in terms of her schoolwork, especially math. So they wanted to give her opportunities in Juneau.
This seems really key that even though you were so far away and your sister all the way to the East Coast for education, and yet you still had that strength from your family. How did your parents and your extended family sort of reach their arms that far across the country to make sure that you still felt strong and supported through all that?
Well, I think it started from the moment we were born. I think that they gave us that groundwork, that foundation, long before that was even in sight, those places that far away from home were even in sight. Now, that doesn't mean it wasn't difficult. I'll tell you a really funny story. I was, I think, starting my sophomore year at Bates, really, really homesick. I was thinking I was going to drop out. I called my nan, my grandma, because her and I were so close, I figured she would hear how sad I was and she would tell me, go ahead, come home now. So I called her and I said, hi, nan. And she said, oh, I was just praying about you. I'm just so proud of you for what you're doing. And she told me about what happened with her. She graduated from Sheldon Jackson and wanted to go to Arizona with some friends to get a nursing degree. Well, her stepfather and the superintendent of the school were able to get her a scholarship, a four-year scholarship to a teacher's college in Asheville, North Carolina. So in 1935, she traveled from Southeast Alaska by herself across the country to North Carolina, where she had to stay for 4 years, couldn't come home. And during that time, she lost a lot of her brothers and her stepfather to tuberculosis. But she stayed all the way through and she graduated. And I think she might have been one of the first Haida women with a Bachelor of Science degree. And she graduated from the Asheville Normal Teachers College. Well, when I called her and was, you know, wanting her to tell me it was okay to drop out, that's not what she said.
Instead, you found out why you needed to stay.
Yeah, you know, but it wasn't anything that anyone else listening would have even understood in terms of how it happened, because I just said, hi, Nan, it's me. And she said, oh, I was just praying for you. And I was thinking about you and how proud I am that you're sticking it out. And, you know, when I was at school, I was there for 4 years all by myself and I could never come home. And it just makes me so proud that you're there.
So she knew exactly mm-hmm. what you needed without really even directly addressing it.
Exactly, exactly. So she asked me, what's going on? I said, nothing. I just wanted to hear your voice.
I'll go back to schoolwork now.
Exactly.
Someone said to me recently that culture belongs to the living, which is a very simple statement, but I really had to think about that for quite a while, because there's a lot of times people bemoan, oh, we're losing this and we're losing that. But that statement, when I thought about it, I realized that it means youth has to keep interpreting what culture is, mm-hmm. so that it stays alive and relevant. Is it more difficult now, or has it always been the same struggle?
You know, I don't know. I think that's how we were raised. It's about moving forward in your life and about carrying your culture forward. Being Alaska Native doesn't just mean that I receive benefits from being Alaska Native. For me, the primary responsibility and obligation about being Alaska Native is to my community. To me, it's about you have a role, you have responsibility, you have obligations, you take care of those things the best that you can. One of them is get an education. The other is know who you are. Carry on your cultural values. Learn your language if you can. Help others.
Hmm.
Bring it back home. And I think it was Oscar Coagley. My mother used to work at Sheldon Jackson as a special liaison to the president. And Oscar was there, and he was doing a presentation, and I was visiting my mom, so I went to listen to him. And he said that if all you do is copy what has been done in the past, then you're practicing a dead art, because you have a responsibility to create new things and to move the culture and the people forward.
Liz Medicine Crow works for the First Alaskans Native Policy Center in Anchorage. Pictures and more stories on Native education are at our website, aprn.org.